Well, Father, we really do thank you and praise you for all that you are doing, you have done, and what you're getting ready to do. I thank you, Father God, for these people who came out this morning. And I'm asking that you just give them a special blessing. I'm asking, Father God, that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be poured out upon them. And they will not be able to contain what you're about to do for them. And Father, I thank you for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything's still going the same. Everybody's fighting against depressants, and everybody's hoping that they get their paychecks and their IRS checks and all other kind of checks, right? God's called this coast lands. So let's see what he has to say. Isaiah 41:1. The Lord says, far away countries, far away countries, be quiet and listen to me. Nations, be brave. Nations means children. Come to me and speak. We will meet together and decide who is right. Then Jeremiah 31:10 says, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. See what it said? Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, as people, and declare it in the coastlands far away. What are we supposed to do with the word when we hear it? Declare it, right? Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Now, coastlands are people that have not heard the gospel. So you see where God's going with this? He said, in all the coastlands there is none like unto me. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, and I live forever and ever, and I do not lie. God said, the coastlands are looming before you, and as we speak, they need ministering too. He's talking about the coastlands of the lost people. They are empty and void, and they have increasing frailties like never before. I have gone before you, and I have prepared the way before you, and the jackals have been extinguished, and they will plague you no more. Now, what this message is all about is God is calling us to go forth and minister to the lost and the dying. He doesn't want us sitting around just twiddling our thumbs anymore. He wants us to be ministering. There's many, many false prophets out there, false evangelists out there, and what we have to do is keep our eyes upon God and know when God is speaking to us, and don't open up our ears for everybody who calls herself a prophet. Because now is the time when the enemy is trying to take God's children off course. He goes on to say, the coastlands are howling for help. They have no peace in sight, and they cannot comprehend what is going on around about them. They are plagued with every plague imaginable, and they are seeking for peace and freedom from the bondage they are in. O coastlands, from whence will come your help? And he's talking to the lost people. Your help cometh from the Lord thy God, and he will move heaven and earth to bring you the freedom you have been crying out for. And Psalm 121:1-2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And what did God just say to the people who are lost? From whence will come your help? Your help cometh from the Lord thy God, and he will move heaven and earth to bring you the freedom you have been crying out for. Now, I don't know if you read about the in California where all those people overdosed in one house this morning, I think it was 12 or 13 of them. One of them died, and you know, it's paramedics, everybody got there, and you know, they had that little needle they give you to bring you back once you've overdosed, and they did that and took them to the hospital. And one of the police officers who was there had to be taken to the hospital because the house was so toxic with drugs, they got into him. And he had to go and you get revived too. And they had placed that house, you know, off limits because of the toxics from the drugs that's been going through that house. And then I was listening to, you know, where they said how they're going to curb drugs. The doctors aren't going to be able just to give you pain pills that every time you go to a doctor. And they're going to do something with cigarettes, so cigarettes aren't addictive. And these people that God's talking about are people who, well, I'm just talking about their drug addicts, and their alcoholics, their prostitutes, and they're out there and they need help. So as I was reading about what the government's going to do to help these people, and I was thinking about what God spoke, and the church has to join in there and help too. We can't be judging them, and criticize them. We ought to thank God that we're not in their shoes. Or if we were in their shoes one time, thank God we're out of their shoes. Those shoes. And now we need to go forth and do a great and a mighty works for the Father. Repentance is on the horizon, and many, and I, this is what God's speaking, and many, I do say, many are repenting without anyone telling them to. For I have been moving upon their hearts, and I have been showing them the bitterness of their souls. So in other words, God's saying right here, he's already got these people prepared so that whenever you go minister to them, it's not going to be hard. They're going to want the Father that you present to them. God says, when you get to the coastlands, they will be more than willing to receive your Maker. For they know what it's like to be in bondage for a lifetime, and they are more than willing to be set free. And he says, not so for my body, though. They have sat under the anointing so long that they take it for granted, and they keep thinking my grace will go on forever. But not so, not so. My grace has come to an end in my houses, and now the coastlands need my grace, love, and long-suffering. And that is why what I am taking to them, my heavenly kingdom authority. That will cause them to rise up out of the filth and degradation that they have been wallowing in for decades now. Then he said, the cockatrice has laid her last eggs. She will still no longer, for these souls have suffered long enough, and they have been lying on their beds of filth, looking up to heaven and crying, if you are real, manifest yourself to me and free me from this prison cell that I'm in. Now, cockatrice eggs are seeds / thoughts of falsehood planted by the enemy of our souls to destroy our relationships, affect our finances, inflict wounds, and cause infectious, bitter diseases when you are bitten by one of them. And you'll find that in Isaiah 59:5. Let's read that again. The cockatrice eggs are seeds or thoughts of falsehood planted by the enemy of our souls to destroy our relationships, affect our finances, inflict wounds, and cause infectious bitter diseases when you are bitten by one of them. Now, right now is the hour that I am answering the heart's cries. Let's just stop there. Have you ever really talked or dealt with people that are on drugs or alcoholics? They've been there about all their life. They started when they were 6, 7 years old. Why? Because their parents were doing that thing. And they just started doing it too. So what God says here, they've been bound up all their life. They really don't know what freedom is. They were too young. They never knew freedom. They went straight into bondage. And God is, this is why he's been trying to get this church anyhow, to the place where we will be so full of Jesus that whenever we go, that Jesus in us will leap out and heal these people.
Amen.
And I said, now, right now is the hour that I'm answering the heart's cries. They shall come forth with such expectancy and great love for the nations, the people, that they will not be satisfied just sitting still. That they will want to move with you, and they will want to do the great and mighty works that you have been telling them about. So if you're going to go out there and tell these lost people about how great God is and expect them to want to go with you, administer what you just told him God could do. He says, move, my little ones, move out into the coastlines and bring in the harvest of souls that are thirsty and dry. Bring them to the table and allow them to eat for themselves from the abundance of my heavenly kingdom. So it says, he says here, bring them to the table, let them set their meat. Don't you keep telling them what he's going to do. You bring them to the table, pray with them and bring them to the table, and let them learn how to eat for themselves. Of course, you're not going to be able to be with them. You are going to have to train them instantly so they can go forth and to bring says, do not store up for yourself riches at this given time. Give and give freely. Do not be deceived. I see all things, and believe me, I am in total and complete control of all things. In Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is, will be also. And God went on to say, move, my little ones, move. This is not the time to sit still. Move before the fire that I kindled under you goes out. Move upon the waves of glory. Move throughout the coastlands and bring my children home. Get out there and move among the people so that you can minister to them. And you know, do great and mighty things. All right, move when you don't feel like moving. And I, the Lord thy God, I will go before you and prepare the way and give you rest for your weary soul. Move out of your place of complacency and go higher with me, and be thrust into the coastlines full of my power and authority, and free the coastlands from the snare of the fowler. Now, coastlines is the furthest parts of the regions where no one has gone before. So let's read that paragraph again. Move when you don't feel like moving. And I, the Lord thy God, I will go before you and prepare the way and give you rest for your weary soul. Move out of your place of complacency and go higher with me, and be thrust into the coastlines full of my power and authority, and free the coastlands from the snare of the fowler. So go to the furthest regions and free the people that are there. Simple, yes. Isn't it?
Amen.
All right. God goes on to say, I am an action God. I never slumber nor sleep. I am always alert. Ears attuned to the voices of my sheep. In Psalms 121:3-4 says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. In other words, if God's calling you forth, then God is not sleeping, and he's watching over you, and he's going to make sure the enemy cannot do anything to you. Mm-hmm. All right? God said, it is way far beyond time to go forth and evangelize the coastlands of America. America the Beautiful has slipped so far into the abyss that their ears have grown dull of hearing, and they are not hearing the still small voice saying, come back to your first love. Come back to the author and finisher of your souls. Come back, my beloved ones. Come back and be restored into your rightful place in my kingdom. Let's read that again, because, saints, you're going to be running into other people who go to church, and they're going to think that they are okay.
Amen.
But, you know, God has called us to be fruit inspectors, right?
Amen.
And so please be inspecting everybody's fruit, and then understand that not everybody who sits in the house of God is really God's child.
Yeah.
All right? So God said, it is way far beyond time to go forth and evangelize the coastlands of America. Well, the reason why I said that was, is because you're going to be evangelizing so-called saved people.
Yeah.
You're going to run across church people that think they're saved and they're not. And God's going to use you to evangelize them. All right? And he's going to do it with such love that they would just want to turn around and do what's right. America the Beautiful has slipped so far into the abyss that their ears have grown dull of hearing, and they are not hearing the still small voice saying, come back to your first love. Come back to the author and finisher of your souls. Come back, my beloved ones. Come back and be restored into your rightful place in my kingdom. Now Matthew 13:15 says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Now, I want to stop there. Because there's been some things going on in the body of Christ, and you know, cause I'm hearing one thing from God in the body of Christ is hearing, you know, the body of Christ being an individual, we'll be hearing something else. And so I said, God, there's something not right here. I'm 100% sure I'm hearing your voice. And so then God spoke to me and said, a spirit of, what was that? Was it delusion?
Yes, delusion.
He said, it's a spirit of delusion. But I'm telling you this, I told you this to say this, You're going to run across people like that.
Amen.
Now, you in here who are prophetic, you'll hear God's voice about something, someone. And then when you speak them, they're going to tell you something totally different. And I don't want you to go into confusion. Well, I didn't go into confusion, but I said, God, something's not right here. And that, then he gave me that scripture.
Yeah.
And I called, I shared it with Sister Nancy Connell, because her and I ran across something together. And so we were wondering, why is this going on? I'm telling you this because as a leader, you're going to have to understand these type of things will go on in your ministry. And your people who you thought for years were godly really are not godly. And they're not being led by the Spirit of God. And you're going to have to come to grips with that.
Yeah.
I thought all this time, and I've allowed them to speak into my life, and I thought all this time they were godly, and they weren't. But I don't want you to get off course because of that, because there isn't one of us sitting here today that has not had that happen to
them. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we want to trust and believe everybody. Is that where I'm at in Revelation?
I found the scripture for you.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to make it big enough.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Nancy. She's going to put that scripture up so you know where it's at. I might even have it down, but I'm not sure. Yes, 2 Thessalonians. See what it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Because this is why they're going to perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now I know some people, and you probably know people too, who God has really dealt with, but because they wanted it their way, they have their self believing that they're okay, but really, truly, they're not. And you know, I know three people like that, and I've been really praying hard for them, because if they don't get out of that strong delusion, they're not going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're not going to cast them out. We're going to pray for them. You know that God can change their hearts and that they can turn around and become all that God would have them to be, and that they will go to heaven.
Amen.
Alright, now where I'm at here.
Do not let another...
Do not allow another to steal your crown. This is God saying this. Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. And God says, become a water walker and keep walking on the ways of adversity. Yeah, we're going to go through adversities and keep walking on them, knowing that your Maker is holding you up and you will not sink into the blackened waters of despair. It doesn't matter how much adversity we're going to walk through. God is holding us up and we're not going to sink. You have to know that in your heart right now this morning. You cannot leave without knowing that. If God has called you, He is holding you, and the enemy cannot take you. God says, come, my precious ones, and be revived each and every day, for you do not know what each day holds. You do not understand the layout of the plan that I have before you yet, but you will. As you come before me, allow me to revive you once again. Come, my precious ones, and be revived each and every day. I know I said it, but I'll say it again. For you do not know what each day holds. You do not understand the layout of the plan that I have before you yet, that you will, as you come before me, allow me to revive you once again. Now, revival is truly the buzzword, but my word is truly revived. If you are not revived, there will be no revival.
Amen.
Change the way you are thinking. Quit thinking revival and start thinking revived. You sing, revive us again, Lord, but you never come before me to revive, so I can revive you. Don't you see how backwards this is? You ask for one thing and then hurry on to something else before I complete the first thing. Isn't that what's going on?
Yeah,
think about what your own life and that what's been happening. Nostalgia is another buzzword. You need to forget that word and move on with me. I am not in the past, I'm in the present. Nostalgia means longing for something past. So he said nostalgia is another buzzword. You need to forget that where to move on with me. I am not in the past. I'm in the present.
Amen.
Come forward this day and receive what I have for you. What I have is far above anything you could ever imagine or think. What I have comes directly from the throne of grace, and it will fully equip you for the ministry that is at hand. What I have is far above anything you could ever imagine or think. What I have comes directly from the throne of grace, and it will fully equip you for the ministry that is at hand. Ephesians 3:20 says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In other words, you can't even start to even imagine what God's going to use you to do.
Yes. Right? Amen.
You have been receiving token grace. But this was interesting. But I want you to have complete amazing grace. Token grace is something serving as a sign of something else. Complete amazing grace will carry not only you through all troubled waters, but it will also carry all those you pick up along the way. Is what God said. Alright? Read that again. You have been receiving token grace, but I want you to have complete amazing grace. Token grace is something serving as a sign of something else. Now complete amazing grace, God said, will carry not only you through all troubled waters, but it will also carry all those you pick up along the way. So you have to have complete amazing grace to carry those that you pick up and that you minister to. The coastlands are waiting for you. Are you ready to go? Is there anything holding you back? If there is, it is not of me, for I have said full throttle ahead, no stopping until the souls are won. No turning back, complete forward motion, no matter what the cost.
Amen.
He said, the coastlands are waiting for you. Are you ready to go? Is there anything holding you back? No. If there is, it is not of me, for I have said full throttle ahead, no stopping until the souls are won. No turning back, complete forward motion, no matter what the cost. Now, that was all that God said. Now, the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil. Why? That I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Jabez is asking God to bless him greatly, exceedingly, and abundantly. He wants his borders enlarged so he can touch others. Are you listening to this? This prayer of Jabez was all so he could touch other people's lives. He wanted God to increase his borders. So each one of you in here today, you need to say, God, increase my borders.
Yes.
So that I can touch others. You want me to go out there to the coastlines and minister to the coastlands? Then increase my borders. Now David cried out to God for the nations, Psalm 28:7-9. David said, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. So David was praying, God, do the same to them that you've done to me.
Amen.
See that? He says, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Now, I ran across this while I was looking for something else, and I thought this was really neat. It's My King by Dr. S.M. Lockridge. My King was born. And you know, I want you to. The reason why I'm doing this is because I don't think we all believe what we're going to be reading here. And that's why you can't take it to the nations with convincing power to have them get saved. So just read this. My King was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews, and that's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He is the king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. And do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is the only one whom there are no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing." Well, well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's a centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Now, I don't know why he said he's august, but okay. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's a cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's a miracle of the age. He's a superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's strong, good, and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah, yeah. That's my king. My king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invisible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out that they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We are around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but it's God's power. Thine is the power. Amen. Yeah, and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes. Amen. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, then, amen. Then I said, this is the king you're taking to the coastlands.
Amen.
Do you really know him? Is that type of a king? If you don't know him that well, then maybe you ought to get that little poem, and maybe you ought to read it so you can tell the people what kind of a king that they will be serving. He is the king of kings, he is the Lord of lords. and he has you right in the very palm of his hand. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. See, we need to get all those things in our hearts so that we can take, go to the peoples and tell them what a great king that we truly do serve. You know, you have to have a conviction deep in your heart that God is God and that he's in control of your life. Nobody else, but God is in control of your life. And you have to have a conviction in your heart that no matter who comes against you, you're going to serve God the way God wants you to serve him, not the way somebody else wants you to serve him.
Amen.
Each one of us have an individual walk with God, and we should never rely on somebody else to tell us how to walk. We should always go before the throne of grace and ask God how to walk. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I have found out in the years I've been ministering that people will always try to get you to do what they want you to do and say, thus saith the Lord. And that'll get you so messed up.
Amen.
And I just thank God that God never let me go there. He never let me get messed up like that.
Amen.
That he was always there for me. And he was one of leading, guiding, directing me.
Amen.
Now each one of you in here, you're a prophet. And as God used you to minister to people, he's going to bring their prophetic gifting to the forefront. What I'm really admonishing you to do this morning is don't let it be a mixture.
Amen.
Don't let it be some God and some you. You can always tell when you is going to get into it. And that's the point, you have to shut it off.
Amen.
You only need to let God say what he wants to say, no more and no less. Sometimes when I prophesy, and I like to tell you, quite a few things that God is saying, no, you just be quiet. You know, he reveals things. He doesn't want you to tell everything that he reveals to you. You let him do the talking. I'll be prophesying to somebody, God's talking to me, you know. My mouth is going in the prophesy, and he's explaining why he's telling that person what he's telling them. And he said, but this is for your information. You don't tell him what I'm telling you. I just want you to know what this is all about. But see, so many people want to be seen and heard, and they want to be glorified, and they'll just tell everything. And that just destroys people.
Yes.
And that just nullifies about everything you ever said, because they're not going to believe one word you say.
Amen.
Don't ever say, thus saith the Lord, if it is not God. And you know, a lot of people, I can tell a lot of people are drawn to me. I can tell when people are drawn to me, like they're saying, God, speak to Pastor Barbara, and you know, tell her something. Because if all of a sudden your name comes up to me, and then God starts dealing with me about you. And then next thing you know, I have a complete picture that I can give you. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But saints, make sure it's God putting that person on your heart. And not you. And I always know it's God because I haven't thought about that person for nothing. And it's all of a sudden their name pops up. And it'd be there 2-3 weeks, you know, then finally I'll maybe talk to Nancy or talk to Brother Chris, because they know the same people. And I said, have you heard from them? Because they're really, God's really laid on my heart, really heavy. And sure enough, they needed our prayers. They didn't need me to call and tell them to change the way they're living. They needed our prayers. And if we put them in God's hands, God is able to deliver them out of the mess that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to bring them forth. And all he needs you to be a vessel of honor that he can use to pray for that person. There's a whole lot of things, I'm hearing God say, there's a whole lot of things coming down the road real quickly. And you're just going to have to be ready when they come. You're just going to be ready to jump out there and do the things God's calling you forth to do. And God's told us for quite some time that all of a sudden we're going to be so busy we won't know what to do with ourselves. And now I've been reading where other prophets are saying the same thing, you know. God, we're going to be so busy, but we already know that, right?
Amen.
I don't want you to get yourself caught up in the worldly things. This is what God is saying. He wants you to stay pure and holy before him. And make sure that you're not entangled with the cares of this world. Each and every one of us here this morning need to understand that the enemy wants to destroy us. Why? Because if he doesn't, then we're going to destroy his kingdom. Right? So he wants to destroy us before we can destroy him. And a lot of things are, I'm quite sure a lot of you are going through adversities you didn't think you'd ever go through. That's the enemy trying to take you off course at the last minute. He's trying to get you into his court so he can destroy you. So what you have to do is, God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Nobody said here today, he would not let you sink. I don't care what comes your way. You're going to have to stand by God's promise that He's not going to let you sink. He's going to hold you up. As long as you're following God's voice, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you've gotten off out of God's way and gotten into your own way or somebody else's way, then you have something to worry about. Right? Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I just give you all honor and glory for teaching us that we have to go out and save the lost now. It is time to get out of the church and go save the lost. And Father, I just thank you. And I just praise you for all that you're doing here this morning.